Good morning. Welcome to Village. And if you're new with us, please register your attendance with us at one of these cards in the back flap of the pew in front. Also, we have the QR code, and this is a handy way of registering your attendance with us. Right now, let's greet each other the old-fashioned way and just stand up and say hello and how you doing, and then we'll return to our seats when we hear the music. Okay. Announcements. The Worship and Music Commission meeting will be held on Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Zoom. Next Sunday, and there's an insert in today's bulletin about the, this is the next Sunday, the Fellowship Potluck Luncheon and so forth, and that's, we've got sign-up sheets for that. And feel free to fill that out. We'd like to see as many people as we can. Sign up to provide sanctuary flowers. And there's a sign-up space on the bulletin board in the back near the entrance. Let's see what else we got here. We've got some save the dates. Quarterly business meeting will be happening on February 9th, and that's a week early. February 16th, celebration of Bruce and Pastor as Pastor Emeritus of Village Baptist Church. And that event will be followed with a fellowship luncheon after the worship service. The 2024 giving statements are still available on the back on the entranceway table. New church directory is available also on the back table. And if you'd like your name added to contact list, please contact Dave and Carolyn Thompson, and that's at t.patch72@gmail.com. And as far as I know, that's all the only announcements I have right now. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you. Let's now raise our concerns to God and to one another in this time of prayer. Great. O God of salvation, in your light we see light. Shine on us now so that we might recall all that for which we should pray. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to heaven. O God, we lift up those who need your love to surround them. We lift up grandsons-in-law, sons-in-law. We lift up Rebecca. We lift up those affected by the fires in L.A. We lift up the Moore family. We lift up transitions of powers and ceasefires here and abroad. We lift up those recovering from surgeries. We lift up Booker Taylor's family, Bishop Johnson in praise, and Martin Luther King Jr. and his family. We lift up those who grieve, those who are ill, and those who feel unloved. Your faithfulness, O Lord, reaches to the clouds. O God, we lift up those who need your faithfulness to guide them. Those who have been neglected by our legal system, our healthcare system, our educational system, and any other system, God. Your righteousness, O Lord, is like the mighty mountains. O God, we lift up those who need your righteousness to restore them. Those whose families are broken, those whose communities are plagued by violence, those whose nations are at war. Your judgments, O Lord, are like the great deep. O God, we lift up those who need your judgment to prevail for them. Those on the margins, those who we often forget, those who wonder if they're worthy. You, O Lord, save humans and animals alike. O God, we lift up your creation, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and everything that creeps upon the earth. O God, we trust that you are present. Even when we cannot see you, we trust that you know us, even when we cannot remember you. We trust that you hear us, even when we cannot speak your name. Shine on us now so that we might see where you are already at work, and in so seeing, join in on what you are doing. It is in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. As we come to this offertory time, let us consider the ways that we can use our gifts for what God calls us to do together. There are many ways to be generous. If your generosity can be shown today through financial means, you're invited to do so using the QR code on the screen and printed in your bulletin. If financial generosity isn't a possibility for you right now, I'd love to have a conversation with you about other avenues of generosity that you may benefit from. Would you pray with me? O Lord, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude, bringing our offerings both great and small. Just as Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding in Cana, transforming the ordinary into something extraordinary, we ask that you would take these gifts and transform them for your purposes. Bless this offering and all who give. May it be a reflection of your generosity and a sign of your willingness to share in your work of transformation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, it's time for the children's story. All right, why are you guys off school tomorrow? I knew you would know it. That's right, it's Dr. King, Martin Luther King Day. So I always like to acknowledge that day. Raise your hand if you know, the whole service could do this, who Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is. Everybody heard of him? Beautiful man, right? We know, what are some things we know about him? One thing each. So let me think about it so you can think about the best thing you know about him. Oh, you don't know anything. That's such a lie.
Stop segregation.
That's right. He worked together with lots of people to help end segregation and promote integration.
He had the I Had the Dream speech.
That's right. He gave the I Have a Dream speech. He gave a lot of speeches. All right.
He was a Christian. He was a Christian.
He was a Christian. Yes, he was. That's right. He was just an ordinary man. He was a reverend, but he was a Christian, and he never claimed to work alone to end segregation. He believed in having a beloved community and working together and that all our gifts would come together. And a lot of the things that he did were within the church. So I thought it would be important that we talked about serving and how you all can serve. Because last week, Pastor Caleb talked about that, but we were in children's church. But he talked about how here at Village, we are enough, and that every single thing that we have makes us important. And tomorrow, everyone that works in a job that gets to have off, some people don't because we have a lot of people that work in other jobs that don't, but I know as a teacher, I do, as a student, you do, and so we are given the day off as a day of service, and it's the idea is that we aren't just off to relax, but that we do something to try to serve others. So hopefully we'll do that, but I thought we could play a little game to show some of the ways that you all can serve. What do you think? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Well, actually, I should tell the story first. So I wanted to read in the Bible so you know that's true. It's in here that we're supposed to serve. Did you know that? That's right. That's how Dr. King knew, because he read the Bible too. But I'll read you one of them. This is from 1 Peter chapter 4 in the very beginning, right? The first verse, it says, "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same intention, so as to live for the rest of your earthly life no longer by human desires, but by the will of God." And then later on, down in verse 10, it says, "Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received." So it tells us we have to do it, right? So let's learn. Let's see if we can use the congregation. We'll play charades. Everybody played charades before?
Yeah.
All right, here's how it's going to work. I'm going to give each of you a charade to act out. You're going to go right up here and you're going to act it out. Everyone in the congregation is going to let you act it out before they yell out, and then I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and then when I say 3, everybody can yell out what they think you did. Okay? Everybody get it? You can play if you want to. If anyone else wants to come act out, I have a few. I have some. All right, you want to go first, Avery? Who wants to go first? You want to go first? I had a feeling you would want to. All right, George. Some of these are going to be ones that you can do at church, and some of these are going to be ones you can do at home, like tomorrow on the day of service. All right, go ahead. Look at the card, and then get up in the middle. Mm-hmm. Get up in the middle and go act it out so everybody can see, right? Oh, up in the middle, right in the middle. Yeah, perfect. One, two, three. Yes!
Sorry.
Memorize that one. Maybe we'll work on your form there. All right, who's next? Go. Go up there and act it out. Yeah, you got it. You can do it. You go right in the middle, right in the middle. You're the star of the show, not me. All right, one, two, three. Nailed it. You can use your voice. You can sing. We could totally sing. All right, who's next? You're ready. All right, here you go. You can use other people for this one, too, if you want to. Go in the middle and act it out. Go pick someone to... Do you see what you do? There's a picture there, so you just kind of have to do what the picture says. Shh, he got it. Go up there and act it out. All right. Go to the middle. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. You can use another person if you want to. It might make a better effect. Maybe go use Pastor Caleb. All right, 1, 2, 3. That's right, greeting other people with a smile. Excellent. All right, you're up. We got to roll. We got to keep. Go ahead, keep rolling. I got 10 of them. Keep going. All right, 1, 2, 3. Picking up trash, cleaning up after other people. All right, go ahead. Just act it out. Well, it's already. Yeah, this is perfect for you. Okay. It might be a hard one. Go ahead. I don't, just pretend. Just say what you're doing out loud. Like, I'm grabbing some. All right, I'll say what you're doing. Act it out. She's grabbing some glue and some glitter, and she's making stuff. 1, 2, 3. Making crafts. You could maybe drop them off for people. You could send them to people. Just a couple more. Go ahead. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. That's right. Or helping with whatever pets you have, or maybe your neighbor's pets. Keep going. This is a fun game, isn't it? Just go ahead. Just go for it. They'll get the gist, I promise. Whichever one's your favorite.
I don't want to.
Yeah! 1, 2, 3. Dancing. Here's another one. We can dance at church. You maybe could join. We have a youth dance. We could have a youth dance. Oh, okay. Here he is. He might do that next Sunday. Oh, thank you. One, two, three.
Serving food,
fantastic. You could serve food. We have a luncheon next week and other things. Next. All right, you going to act them all out? There's three more after this. But your mouth kind of have to move while you do it. One, two, three. You can volunteer to read the scriptures. We've had children read the scriptures before. Now you've kind of turned into like little zombies, one at a time. All right, this one's for you. Go up in the front. This one's for you, and this one, you and Kyle can do this one together. Go ahead, just pretend that's, just pretend, it means, come here. Go up there and do it. She's putting a plate and some silverware. One, two, three. Yeah, or cleaning up the table. You could do that, too, tomorrow for sure. It's a good day to do it. Or on Sunday, you could help. You ready? Yes, one, two, three. You could write notes, and you could drop them off to people. You could put them in the mail. You could send them to people at Village. You could send them to people at, you know, different rehab centers. Or all right, last one. They were ready to go. Yes, one, two, three. Giving money, time, or collecting the offering. Excellent. Everyone, a round of applause. We did great. All right, quick prayer. And then I think there's music, and then we'll go to Children's Church. Can't wait. Y'all are hyped up. All right, dear Lord, please pray for us in this beautiful village. Please pray that we find a way to serve every day, especially tomorrow, that we can remember the life of Dr. Martin Luther King and all of those people who served alongside him. May we come together as a beloved community and truly work to make his dream, which is in the eyes of the Lord and in the ways of Jesus, that we can continue to move forward in that way, and that our children here at Village can continue to use their gifts to serve us and be enough. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I'm gonna lay down my burden down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my burden down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Ain't gonna study war no more, ain't gonna study war no more, ain't gonna study war no more, war no more, ain't gonna study war no more, ain't gonna study war no more, ain't gonna study war no more. I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Ain't gonna study war no more, ain't gonna study war no more, ain't gonna study war no more, war no more, ain't gonna study war no more, ain't gonna study war no more, ain't gonna study war no more. I'm gonna talk to the Prince of Peace down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna talk to the Prince of Peace down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. War no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more.
Our scripture reading is from John 2, 1 through 12. The wedding at Cana. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no more wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to me and to you? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the person in charge of the banquet." So they took it. When the person in charge tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, that person called to the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they remained there for a few days. May these holy words enlighten our minds and guide our steps.
Would you all pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. In American culture, we talk about making it a lot, don't we? You try to make it big in industries like music or film. You try to make it big by climbing to the top of whichever ladder you're trying to get to the top of. It was around 2011 that childhood Caleb learned about the concept of making it. That year, singer-songwriter Kevin Rudolph released the song "I Made It," featuring probably the most famous rapper at the time, Lil Wayne. Looking back, I realized that there wasn't too much to this song. It tells you what it's about pretty quickly. In this song, Kevin Rudolph sings, quote, "I look up to the sky, and now the world is mine. I've known it all my life. I made it. I made it. Oh, I used to dream about the life I'm living now. I know that there's no doubt. I made it. I made it." I won't tell you exactly where I was in 2011. Most of you probably don't want to know, but I feel like everyone around me knew this song, and because of it, they started talking about making it. I wanted to be a brain surgeon at the time. We see how that turned out. So I was looking to get through middle school, high school, college, and medical school so I could finally make it. Another way we talk about making it is with the language of our time coming. When we tell stories about people who have made it, we view their lives as preparations for their big moments, preparations for when their time came. In this view of life, everything that happens before our time comes isn't really as important, is it? The important stuff, of course, happens after our time comes. 2011, Caleb definitely understood it this way because he was only about 18 to 20 years away from his time coming. Before I go on, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you feel like your time has come? Or do you feel like you're still waiting for your time to come? In today's scripture passage, we're dropped into John's narrative that began with a powerful prologue that tells us what in the world we are in for. John says, "Buckle up, people. We've never seen anything like this before." John says, "The Word that was in the beginning with God has taken on flesh and has tabernacled with us on earth." This is God's revelation to us. This is what we've been waiting for. Our time has come, finally. We are getting ready to see God's glory in its fullest. So everything right now is teed up for something magnificent to happen. We're about to see Jesus' first sign. John has made it to where we're practically shaking with excitement. We're on the edge of our seats waiting for what's about to happen. And then Jesus goes to a wedding. Well, that's okay. There will be a huge crowd there probably, so Jesus can solve some sort of problem that'll arise there. He could heal the whole crowd. He could save the day in only a magnificent way that he can. Soon enough, we're introduced to the problem at hand that our Savior will solve in only the way he can. Finally, Jesus' time has come to solve the problem of not having enough wine. It even takes some prodding from his mother. And after he declares, "My hour has not yet come," he turns the water into wine and the party is saved. Something I find really interesting about Jesus' first sign in John is that it might be the least miraculous miracle in the whole gospel. The wine steward, the person in charge of the party, doesn't even know where the wine came from. This sign, this miracle, was nonchalant. It was offhand. And everything about it feels kind of underwhelming. But when I was reading commentaries on this passage, author after author kept depicting this miracle as something grandiose and obvious, something earth-shattering, something where everyone went, To be clear, I can't turn water into wine, and if you could, that'd be great. Obviously, it's a miracle to turn water into wine. But I read the story in the same way I just told you. Something that isn't flashy, something that doesn't even seem like it's at the top of Jesus' list. I find it really important that the wine steward didn't know where the wine came from. He just assumed it was a normal day with normal wine. It wasn't a miracle where everyone took their hats off. It was a miracle that not a lot of people noticed. I think the normalcy of Jesus' first miracle in John tells us something really important. I believe the key to this passage lies in Jesus' statement, quote, "My hour has not yet come." See, here Jesus nudges the reader and says, "Oh, you just wait. This here's nothing." But he proceeds to act miraculously anyways. That is, just because Jesus' time had not yet come, that didn't stop him from doing something amazing. Jesus said, "Yes, that day will come, but here's what I need to do right now." A wedding without wine, like I said, probably wasn't Jesus' big problem on his list. But I believe that Jesus had a strong conviction that he was put there to do something, even if it wasn't the greatest thing that he would ever do. Jesus didn't shake off this small stuff because he was only focusing on the greater things that lied ahead. Even though Jesus' time had not yet come, he still performed his most well-known miracle, but he did it in an ordinary way. If Jesus were to have thought about life in the way we've been taught to, Jesus would have brushed this off as unimportant, and he would have just focused on getting to the big things. He may have not even gone to the wedding. If he were to think about life the way we've been taught to, he would have said, "My time has not yet come," and then chosen not to do anything. He would have put his life on hold to focus on the most direct path to his crucifixion and his resurrection. The point is this. At times, we can become a bit like racehorses with blinders on, can't we? We're basically told that we need to get there and that we shouldn't be happy with where we are right now. But the finish line always moves, so we brush things off and say, "Oh, I can do this once I get there. I've just got to get there first." But then we get there and say, "Oh, I can't do that now because now I need to get there. I need to get there." And it happens again and again and again. And even when we look back at how far we've come, we're always looking for our time to come. And I wonder if you relate to this. I wonder if you have ever put your life on hold because you feel like your time hasn't come. I know I have. Our lives are full of desires and interests that we want to follow as best as we can. But there are definitely moments along the way of feeling like our time has not yet come. This can look several different ways. It can feel like not being the person we want to be, not having the job we want. It can look like prioritizing the wrong things over the right things. It can look many different ways, but at the end of the day, when it feels like your time hasn't come, it's hard to feel good about what you're doing, isn't it? When it feels like your time hasn't come, it's hard to get through the daily slog of life. As we live day after day, we want to get there, but we don't know how far away there is. We don't know if we're going to get there. We don't know why we're here instead of there. It's hard to be in a place where you feel like your time has not yet come. But the good news this morning is that even if your time hasn't come, like Jesus, God can still call you to do great things. Today we learn that Jesus' most well-known miracle happened before his time had come. You don't have to wait for your time to come to make a difference. You don't have to wait for your time to come to do something worth doing. You don't have to wait for your time to come to glorify God. The good news is that you can do that right now, even if it looks ordinary. Even if no one recognizes what you're doing, you can still make a difference. This morning, we break free from the lie that we have to make it before we can make a difference, that we have to work to a certain point to do anything of worth. God's action through Jesus this morning teaches us that we can do great things even if our time hasn't come. Today, Jesus provides a corrective to our understanding of, quote, making it. Through this miracle, we learn that life is too complicated and too messy to be divided into times of getting there and then making it. Our life isn't something that we can put on hold until we get to the next goal. We can't just push aside where we are now to wait for our time to come. Instead, we have to recognize where we are right now and look for ways that we can make a difference right now. And I think Jesus tells us this later in the gospel. Throughout the Gospel of John, the author loops back around to this idea of time. But in John 7:6, Jesus says to his disciples, "My time has not yet come, but your time is always here." My time has not yet come, but your time is always here. Jesus says we don't have to wait for our time to come because our time is now. The good news is that our time isn't when we get there. It isn't when we make it. Our time is right now. The fact is, all we know is that we're here with each other right now. And maybe God has put us here for a reason. Maybe God is leading us to glorify Him in normal ways, not just in the ways we can once we've made it to the end. Maybe God has something greater in store for us, not in the future, but right now. So, what if we were to live like our time has come? What if we were to live like now is our time? What would it look like? What does it look like to live as if our time has come, even when we're still waiting for the big moment? I'm going to get real Baptist here and give you 3 points, but there won't be a poem at the end. First, living like our time has come means embracing the present. If we're always waiting for something else, we miss out on what God is doing right now. Even in the moments that feel normal, God is working in and through us. Jesus showed us that even though His time had not yet come, that did not stop Him from doing good in the world. He wasn't waiting for some grand and beautiful occasion to show love to other people. Instead, He acted where He was in the moment that He had. This means that right now is the time to do the small things with great, great love. Whether it's in your work, your relationships, your community, or even just the way you go day by day, God is calling you to bring glory to Him right now, not just after you make it. Second, living like our time has come means not dismissing the ordinary. We tend to think that the things that don't make the headlines, the things that don't go viral, the things that don't change the world in obvious ways aren't worth our full attention. But today we learn that God often works in the quiet and the unnoticed moments. Jesus' first miracle did not get a press release. It didn't cause a national stir. No one even knew where the wine came from. But in the midst of that quiet and normal moment, God was at work. So what if, instead of waiting for the spotlight, we recognize that every small act of faithfulness, every quiet step we take toward kindness or compassion, those steps are a way that God is glorified? What if we celebrated the small victories, the unacknowledged moments of faith, love, and kindness? Third, and finally, living like our time has come means trusting that God is using you even in the waiting. Maybe you feel like you're in a season where you're just preparing, just getting ready for what's next. And that's okay if you are. But don't think that you're wasting time until you get to something bigger. Jesus didn't let His waiting time stop Him from working in the world. So what if your current season, no matter how small or unimportant it or you might feel, is a season that God is calling you to do something transformative and meaningful. Maybe you're waiting for your big break, but right now, God is calling you to act faithfully in your current circumstances. We live in a story where God is always moving, always working, and always inviting us to be a part of it, even when we don't feel like we've made it. So your time right now, know this, is significant. So when we hear the stories of people's time coming, it's easy to think that their big moments only came after years of meaninglessness. But those years weren't wasted. They were filled with learning, growth, and small moments of impact, even if those moments were unnoticed or unappreciated at the time. In the same way, our time is now, no matter where we are in our lives. You don't have to wait to make it, because you can start making a difference right now. So I challenge you today to ask yourself, what would it look like if I lived like my time has come? What if instead of waiting for the right moment, I embraced where I am and looked for ways to serve God and to serve others right now? It might not feel glamorous. It might not make headlines. But it is definitely part of the bigger story that God is inviting you into. The story that God is telling in our world. So as we leave today, may we walk out with a sense of purpose in the present moment. May we stop putting life on hold, waiting for a time that isn't now. May we start recognizing that our time is now. And just like Jesus did at the wedding, we can bring God glory, even and especially in the ordinary, even and especially in the unnoticed, even and especially in the waiting. May it be so. Amen. During our final hymn of reflection, we open this space as a space of reflection to see where God is calling us to be, even in the waiting period, even in the times where we haven't, quote, made it. Now, let us rise together in body or in spirit to sing our final hymn, I Am Thine, O Lord, number 504.
To rise in the earth. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And as you go forth to transform the ordinary, may you know this, that nothing can separate you from the love of God through Jesus Christ. Amen.
See you.